morning once again. We are continuing on in our series called Elevation Fire. It's the second week in about a 5 or 6 week series in which we want to share with you the five passions that Elevation is founded upon. And we say fire because God has put a fire in our belly for a few things. That when we gather together Sundays and throughout the week, it's not just kind of a random ho-hum, hey, well, there's nothing better to do. But there is a few things that God has truly put a fire in our belly to be all about. And so when we say that there's five passions that Elevation is founded upon, we're serious. Passions is stronger than that word values. A lot of times we use values, but we don't think that's strong enough. Values on fire are passions. We believe God's directed us to a few things as he moves us toward the vision of being disciples and making disciples. There are five passions that we feel God has called us to live out together. Those are keep discovering, reproduce disciples, be a minister, hang out and be there. And that's what we're looking at in this series. We're unpacking because each of those has a lot of depth from the life of Jesus as he lived it out and taught it to his followers. And we want to unpack those. And last week, we looked at this incredible journey that we are invited to take with Jesus. That's the keep discovering. That none of us have it all together. None of us ever will. But he invites us into this process of learning and growing into being his apprentice. Or our posture going through life is, I'm an apprentice of Jesus. That word disciple means apprentice or learner. And we want to be lifelong learners where there's always more to learn, always more to discover, always more to grow. And that's good news because that means little by little we get more and more transformed as we give ourselves to God in humility, more and more transformed into the people we're made to be and through that closer in relationship to the living God. So keep discovering. And then the second passion that flows right on the heels of that is reproduce disciples. There is an incredible coming-of-age moment in the end of Matthew when Jesus says to his followers, his disciples, who have been with him on this journey for 3 years, and they have been being discipled by him. They have taken that posture of humility where they said, we got to keep growing. We don't have it all together. We need to learn from the master how to do life. And then this incredible moment comes where Jesus says, go now. And you make disciples, teaching them everything that I have taught you. Very simply, he wants us to reproduce disciples in our life, to see his kingdom come, and that's what he's all about, seeing heaven invade earth. That's his mission, that's his goal. Jesus sought to start a movement of empowered followers, not a gathering of passive observers. So the question we want to take this morning is simply this: how can every follower of Jesus participate in that mission of making disciples? Because we believe that Jesus was intentionally setting up a pattern for the rest of humanity. He was the greatest leader ever. He took this ragtag group of nobodies. I mean, if you look at this eclectic mix, these people were not even supposed to be friends. They were not the top of society. They were not all in this upper echelon of elite. They were the ragtag everyday people in the world's eyes. And Jesus discipled them into being the leaders of a movement that turned the world upside down forever. The only reason you know of it is because of them. And we believe that he was very intentional about his process of leadership development, where you would take that original ragtag, just everyday person, and turn them into a leader that can turn the world upside down for good. We believe that he intentionally lived out a pattern in his life of making disciples and leaders that would birth a movement. And in order, though, for that powerful movement to continue, we believe that we should continue to follow the pattern of his life. Basically, we're trying to say we don't have anything better. We looked at Jesus and the way he develops leaders, and we're not trying to say, well, that was cool, but we got something better. We want to go back to the greatest leader ever. So we believe that we can learn from Jesus, from the life of Jesus, a process on how every follower, everyone who has that posture of keep discovering, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know what life's all about. That in that we can also learn from Jesus a process of how every disciple can then make more disciples. So I want to take us through what others have, many others have identified as more or less four stages of this leadership development process that Jesus models for his disciples. And we'll see, though, how we get to the end, he's ultimately saying, and that's what I want you to do too. So keep in mind as we talk about this. So in the first stage of taking a person, a ragtag, anybody that doesn't, you know, not following God, into the process of discipleship, into leadership development, where they're making more disciples. Stage one that Jesus modeled was, I do, you watch. If you're following along in the Lift Notes, stage one is, I do, you watch. If you guys are new with us, we'd encourage you to pick up Lift Notes at the door on the way in. That's a way of following along, and they will be posted on the website in the podcast, so you can get those later if you want to continue to study. But stage one, I do, you watch. And Jesus models this. He simply starts the process of discipleship by saying, look, I'm going to do it. You watch my life. That's why we looked last week, this Mark 1:15, where Jesus says, come follow me. That's an invitation into his life to learn from the master how to do life by watching him. I do, you watch, he said. We are convinced that the most powerful thing Jesus did to make disciples was to invite people into relationship with him, and that gave them access to his life so that they could see in his life what was possible in their life. He took them to do this, to give them access to his life. He took them on basically like a 3-year road trip. You ever been on a road trip? You get to know the people. You get to know what they're all about. You know, kind of the gloves come off. You know, the superficial little like niceties, they're off the table. And you really get to see what somebody's all about, for better or for worse. Jesus took these guys on the 3-year road trip, and they did everything together. They're together all the time, traveled together. You know, that's where you're cooking meals together. You're around the bonfire at night, you know, talking about life. They went into the marketplace together, doing cultural festivals. As they did life together, questions emerge, situations emerge that are teachable moments in which Jesus could model for them this new way of life where God reigns in everything. And you can see that. That's what the scriptures are. Jesus living life with disciples who have access to his life, and we get the, you know, the bird's eye view of the questions that they're asking and the situations they're facing. And Jesus is addressing those. So it's situations he's talking about. He talks about money and possessions. You're living life, and what do we do about money and possessions? That's a good question. Or he talks about relationships and friendship and community. That's a big question about life. He talks about prestige and power. That's a big question that all of us face. Jesus talks about sexual purity, obviously an issue for everybody. He talks about closeness with God or intimacy with God. And the list could go on and on, goals and priorities, how we spend our time and energy. And if you look at the Gospels where the story of Jesus is told, it was simply him modeling a new way of life where God's on the throne. And what does that look like? How do you live that out on a moment-by-moment basis? Jesus wasn't trying to teach this abstract philosophy so that, you know, when the subject of religion came up at a dinner party, you know, his followers would be well-trained and equipped to have an impressive debate. That was not what it was about. He gave them access to his life and invested in them relationally so that they learned by his example what life's about, so that they could live out life's everyday circumstances and challenges through the lens of Jesus. As he did it, they saw it, they watched, and they learned a whole new way of life. And Jesus, being the greatest leader ever, leaves a precedent for us to follow. That when we get to that point in life where Jesus does say to us, after we have given ourselves to being his disciples, following him, and we get to that coming of age moment where he says, hey, now go make disciples. What's the first thing we do? Is that we hold these classes and teach and give people access to your life. That's what Jesus did. That's where he started. Just come follow me. See how I live out life. So we believe that the most powerful way that we can make disciples is to first be a disciple ourselves and then invite people into our life. Give people access to our life so that they can see aspects of our life that have been redeemed and been transformed, so that through that God can give them a vision of what he can do in their life. So question to ask as we get into this and pursue this is, who are we intentionally giving access to our life? Because to the degree that Jesus has changed us and transformed us, there will be things that are worth following. When Jesus said to his followers, be the salt of the earth, he was saying that our lives, by his grace and what he's done, are meant to be tasty. That's what salt does. It adds the flavor to things. Our lives are meant to be a taste of heaven invading earth. And obviously, as we looked at last week, we always have room to grow. And it's not that we've arrived and we got it all going on. But the reality is, if we truly, humbly give ourselves as lifelong learners of the Master, then our lives will be radically transformed. We will not be the same person we were 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 20 years ago. It simply cannot happen. If you've given yourselves to Jesus, you will be radically transformed over time. That's God's destiny for you, for his Spirit to come in more and more and produce his kind of fruit in your life, where the struggles and the brokenness, God invades those to give victory and healing that embody a whole new way of life. Not because of our greatness, but because of the incredible grace and power that God loves to invade our lives with. So, the idea Jesus is saying is that as we are transformed, the best thing we can do is just give people access to our life, so that someone can come and say, wow, I see something in you that, man, I wish I had a little bit more of that. Or I've seen how you've changed and what's going on. Man, you used to be a real jerk, and wow, there's something about you. Or wow, I see a patience in the way that you respond to your kids that, man, I got to get a little bit more of that for myself. Or I see a love in the way that you have friends and a depth of friendship that's refreshing, that's appealing. I see a peace in the way that you are facing these daily struggles that, man, I don't have that kind of peace. Or I see a joy, a genuine joy in this knowing God, this relationship with God. Or I see a hope as you face difficult circumstances in life. There's a hope going on right there that, man, how do you have that hope? I'm just all negative. When the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and hope and kindness, and those are not these internal, just for me, little feelings in my heart that I will have one day. When God produces fruit in your life, it's in tangible, concrete situations that are lived out every day, that are meant to be a contrast from what we can do on our own strength. It's God working. And Jesus shows, invite people into your life. Give them access to the redemption that God's brought, and that will make more disciples as you do and they follow. They will see an example that they want more of. So that's Jesus' stage one, that he lives out, and that is like the main thing for us. The most powerful thing we see Jesus doing is modeling, living out this contrast from the status quo of life on our own strength that's just not working. Jesus shows life under the lordship of God and this whole new world that's possible. So when we come to that point, that's the best we've got. And we're not going to be perfect, and people are going to see aspects of our life that don't look a lot like Jesus, and that's all going to be there. But there will be those aspects more and more that are like Jesus as we keep discovering ourselves, and there will be fruit that is tasty to the world as people are hungry for something real with God. As people then get this vision and move more towards what the kingdom of God can look like, the next stage that we see Jesus bringing them to is he gives them opportunities to participate. So from I do, you watch, to I do, you help. Watch this. Book of Mark, Jesus is doing his thing. Disciples are watching, coming along, following, watching. And then this moment comes where they're in a remote place and people are hungry. And the disciples come to him and say, Jesus, you got to send these people away so they can, you know, go to a surrounding countryside and buy themselves something to eat. And Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. So here comes this moment where it's not just anymore, hey, I do, you watch. He says, you help. I do, you help. Here's an opportunity to participate in what he's doing. And this is a powerful, powerful truth that if we want to grow a disciple into a leader, we have to give opportunities to lead. And that's what Jesus does. Here's an opportunity to step up in a little bit of leadership. But they get freaked out and they say, well, hey, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are we going to spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, come back, and they said, 5 loaves, 2 fish. So they're getting a little freaked out at the idea that Jesus is calling them, inviting them to step up. But watch what Jesus does. He then helps them not be so overwhelmed by starting. He gives them a manageable task. Well, just go find out how much we've got. And there's, again, leadership development 101. He's living it out. If you don't just put someone from nothing in charge of a huge responsibility, you're going to overwhelm them, burn them out, just freak them out. You know, throwing someone in the deep end of the pool before they can even swim, they're just going to sink. But at the same time, if you want to follow that little pool analogy, Jesus, you don't just stay swimming in the pool and say, hey, watch how I'm swimming. Never let them get in the pool. They're not going to learn to swim. So what Jesus is doing, a little bit at a time, get their feet wet, get in the pool a little bit here. Simple but profound with how intentional Jesus is to say, he's still doing the leading, but he is giving them an increased opportunity. So watch this. It says, then he directed them, the disciples, to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. So just watch here. By the time they are done with the day, the disciples, who are used to just watching Jesus, have now played a significant role. They are not on the sidelines anymore, just watching Jesus' life and how the kingdom flows through him. They're invited to participate and actively help with what is Jesus, with what Jesus is doing. I do, you help. So Jesus is still in charge, but he begins to share some of the responsibility with his disciples, giving them opportunity to increase their responsibility. So then we move on. Stage three, as time goes on and the disciples have continued to learn from Jesus as he leads by example in his life, and then they help more and more, they're helping. Now they're ready for a third stage, a big shift in their development into disciple-making leaders. Stage three, Jesus models, you do, I help. So from I do, you watch, to I do, you help, huge shift now. You do, I help. Watch this. Luke 10. After this, Jesus, the Lord, appointed 72 disciples and sent them out. Your turn, you do it. Two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So watch, stepping back, seeing a process of discipleship. Jesus is the leader still, but the disciples carry the majority of the work and responsibility while Jesus gives encouragement and feedback. Jesus is modeling for us the way of making more disciples is as you disciple, you then give away power so that it can be multiplied. So as we all get trained up and empowered to use the gifts and passions he's given us, and that's what next week's all about, and that's what a lot of outside Sunday morning stuff's going to be about, then as we invite people into our life, we also invite them to share in the work that God wants to do through us so they can be trained up as future leaders. So, watch. Very simply, practically. If you're a musician, you're taking other musicians under your wing. If you're an artist, you're pursuing ways in which not only can you use the arts to honor God, but you can train up others to use the arts to honor God. If you're working with children or youth, you find someone to train up as an apprentice. If you're leading a small group, you train up a co-leader who will lead the next one. This room is full of a variety of gifts and passions, and we're going to talk more about that next week, and we're going to get training on that. But as those varieties of gifts and passions emerge, and you continue to be a follower who keeps discovering, and you get taught and trained, and you discover and develop those gifts and passions, then there's going to be those moments where as you invite people into your life, you get to help others develop, discover and develop those gifts and passions. You give away some of your power and give them opportunity to step up little by little. It's exactly what Jesus is doing here. You do now, and I'll help. I'll give you support. I'll give you feedback, and that's what he does. You know, he's supporting them. He's encouraging them, saying, yeah, man, I saw you guys. You did a great job. I saw Satan fall like heaven, and I was helping you. I gave you authority, but he's also giving them feedback, saying, but hey, be careful as you're going down this road. Rejoice, not that you have all these, you know, powers that I've given you, but that where's your focus? That you're a child of God. Your name is written in heaven. So he's giving them feedback. It's not just throw them in the deep end. There's a intentional process of walking right alongside of them where he's helping them. It's powerful stuff. And lastly, and we'll close with this, we see the disciples come to this moment where they've traveled a long journey now. This is 3 years of I do, and man, just watch my life, Jesus says. Then I do, and hey, help me out a little bit. To hey, you know what? You do it, and I'm going to help you out. And then lastly, we get to this great commission, this Matthew 28, where he says now, you do it. I'll watch. Matthew 28, Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Isn't that Jesus' job? Isn't that what he said? I'm here to make disciples. Come follow me. And then he says, now that's your job. It's exactly what happens. The book of John translates that differently, saying, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you the same mission. You get to carry that on. That is a ridiculously incredible privilege. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you, and I'll be with you. He's there. He's not left us alone. But faithfully learning from the Master what it means to live out this new life in the kingdom of God, now they are sent out to reproduce that in others. That's a lot of authority that Jesus says, I'm giving to you. That's a lot of privilege. That's a lot of responsibility. That is the noble task, the great commission. It is weighty. But this is that amazing coming of age moment, this coming of age ceremony that Jesus wants every single one of you to have in your life. It's not meant to just stop with you. Being a disciple is not where it ends. It's not all about you. He made you a disciple because he loves you and cares about you and wants you in relationship, but that process is also meant to come full circle where you then can be built up in order to make more disciples. In his authority, our risen and victorious Savior commissions his followers to continue the process that he began and puts it in our hands. Go make disciples. Go make followers, apprentices of all the nations, the whole world, in other words, teaching them everything I've taught you. How did Jesus teach? Mainly through his life. So it is that same model, he's saying, that same model that I did for you, where I gave you access to my life, and through that you saw the kingdom of God come. Go do that. Teach them in the same way. Go model for others so that they can learn to be my disciples and pass it on themselves to others. And you see what Jesus is doing. He's intentionally starting a movement of empowered saints that would spread throughout the nations of disciples making disciples. And that's our passion. That's one of our passions here, is that we get the privilege of getting swept up into that invitation to not only be disciples, but be passionate about making disciples. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just, we want to thank you, God, for the incredible privilege. It is overwhelming. And if we think about it in our own strength, it should be, because it's nothing that we could do on our own strength or our own goodness or our own creativity. But thank you, God, that you have invited us into such a dignified destiny that we become your ambassadors to the world. As you physically left this earth, you meant us to be your physical representation on this earth of you, the King, and to follow that pattern, that model of simply inviting people into access to our lives. And through that honest, humble, lifelong learner's attitude, there is much that you want to produce in us and much fruit that will be tasty to a hurting and hungry world. We thank you for that, God. And we pray, Lord, that you would powerfully touch our hearts, help us to see that we are each made for this destiny. According to our own gifts and passions, it's going to look different, but the good things you do in us are not meant to just stay just for us. But you have destined us to all be people of influence and leaders in some way to make more disciples for your glory. We just pray, Lord, that as we just start this process with just this little band of warriors for you, we pray that you, Lord, would be the king of it. Multiply it for your glory. Start in our hearts. Help us recognize that healthy church is built when we focus on being disciples first and making disciples. And that the future health of what you want to do here largely rests on that, on us, and how committed we are to the process of being disciples and then making them. Thank you, God, for this incredible invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at @WeAreElevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/WeAreElevation.